Our scripture reading this morning will be coming from Romans chapter 8, verses 16 through 18. Romans 8, 16 through 18. I'll be reading from the King James Version. If you are there, you'll find these words. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Powerful songs that we sung this morning as we assemble around the table, as we have sung songs unto the Lord. And hopefully, as the prayers were being offered, we have made our spiritual connection with the Lord. Paradise Valley. Heaven holds all to me. Close to thee. Just a few more days. As I think about that, and hopefully as we consider some thoughts on this morning, I want us to realize that all that we have been speaking about all month concerning suffering has a great, great reward, that we have something to look forward to. And sometimes as the people of God in the scriptures, all that they had was what they had to look forward to. When I consider the great passages that were read in our hearing from the book of Romans, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, demonstrates some great words for us to consider. When we consider the Christians, especially during this particular time, how were they to know that they were Christians? How were they to know that they had something to look forward to? The Holy Spirit, according to Romans chapter 8, verse number 2, would operate through his law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Not according to the law of Moses, but according to the law of the Spirit. And so when we consider having the mind of the Spirit and the mind of the flesh, those were two different mindsets. And as we talked about earlier in the month, that we're either going to suffer for righteousness or unrighteousness, 1 Peter 4, verse 15 and 16. The same as it relates to Romans chapter 8. Because those who set their minds on the things of the Spirit, those are the ones that are looking above, where Christ said it, at the right hand of the throne of God. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. Yet the carnal mind, the worldly mind, the mind that sets their mind on things that are down here, that particular mindset is hatred, enmity, hostility toward Jehovah. Yet the Apostle Paul would say in Romans chapter 8, verse number 16, that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. How can we know that we are children of God? Romans 8, verse number 2, going back to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. How do I know that I'm a child of God? I have obeyed the law of Christ, the law of the Spirit. But then, notice what he says in verse 17. And if children, meaning descendants, then heirs, an inheritance is awaiting. Heirs of God and joint heirs, notice, with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified together. All month we have been talking about suffering and the different ways that we suffer. And sometimes it is a spiritual suffering and sometimes it is a physical suffering. However, as a Christian, suffering is suffering. But then notice verse 18. For I consider, Paul says, that the sufferings of this present time. Now, some would say that the sufferings that the Apostle Paul is talking about was most likely Nero and the persecution of the Lord's people. That's very possible. However, when we consider some things, we know that the Christian would suffer regardless of who is emperor, king, president, or otherwise. But nevertheless, he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. Now notice the language here. With the glory, now going back up to verse number 17, if we suffer with him, we will also be glorified together. So the things that the Apostle Paul says that they were dealing with, they were going through, he says it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. Now notice the language here. In us. The whole context is, from this particular point forward rather, is dealing with the glorified body. And we know that because of Romans 8 verse number 23 and 24. Notice what he says there. Matter of fact, let's throw in verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan. You could put Psalm 143 verse number 5. You could put Exodus chapter 3 verses 1 through 6 as relates to the groaning of the individual. We groan within ourselves eagerly waiting. Now notice this. For the adoption, and what is the adoption, Paul? The redemption of our body. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for that he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. When we stop and we consider the reward, that which awaits us, and the suffering that we have to go through at times. Again, in comparison to eternity, the things that we have to wrestle with and struggle with as faithful Christians and children of God is just a mere blink of the eye. And I use that in a very metaphoric sense because it's quicker than that. When we think about what we have to deal with down here, friends, we know that it doesn't even compare to the glory that is awaiting us. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 12 and 13, our Lord would say some very powerful words. In Matthew chapter 24, verse number 12 and 13, here in the context of the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the age, here he would say something that is very prevalent even in our day. And we find many who are in this category in the world. Hopefully those of us who are Christians don't find ourselves in this category. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. The idea of cold there, when we consider the word of God, God's word is a fire. And when people do not adhere to the word of God, they grow cold. When they don't apply the word of God to their heart, they grow cold. And here, the love of people will grow cold. And keep in mind that when we consider the word of God and God is love, they go hand in hand. And because people get away from God, they get away from love. They get away from love, they grow cold. But he who endures to the end, notice the language, shall be saved, shall be delivered, shall be rescued. So we keep in mind that as Christians, we have to remain focused. Why? Because heaven holds all to us. Because we want to walk close to thee. Because there's just a few more days. And friends, the The more we live, and as time elapses, the closer we get to death or the return of Christ, we'll be able to obtain that great reward that awaits us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, we understand that suffering is a part of Christianity. And all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 3. And look at verse 10 and 11. I quoted verse 12, but notice what the apostle Paul had to go through, friends. And Paul understood that he had something waiting for him. On many occasions, Paul would say that he would rather be with the Christ, but it was more needful for him to be down here. That he would have his gaze on the heavens, for whence his citizenship is, Philippians chapter 3. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10 through verse number 11, notice what the Bible here says. But you, Paul talking to Timothy, have carefully followed my teaching, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. Let me make a quick point here. Paul here is referring back to his first missionary journey, some 20 years after the fact. Acts chapter 13, 14, going into Acts chapter 15. Paul is talking about, Timothy, you have been watching me for the last 20-something years, Brother Royce, and I have not wavered. In the midst of all of my suffering, I have not wavered. You have watched me. And notice what he says. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Friends, who's going to deliver us from the suffering? It's going to be the Lord. Not we ourselves. But the Lord will deliver us out of the mouth of the lion, if you will. But then notice verse 14 and 15. But you, now, as I was crafting this and thinking about this, I thought this is a very powerful point right here. As Paul is telling Timothy, I need you to be focused. There is something waiting for us. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. Friends, can I encourage us to stay with the truth? Brother Dennis, in his prayer, said something that's very, very pertinent right here. It is our prayer that this pulpit will always teach and preach sound doctrine. And the reason why is because what you learn here most likely is what you're going to take with you. Hopefully you'll be like the Bereans and check behind the preacher or whoever's teaching to make sure that the things in which are being said are true. But Paul says to Timothy, you need to continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And then notice what he says in verse 15. And that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul, why are you telling Timothy these things? Because if you're going to win the reward, this is key. If we're going to win the reward of eternal life in the midst of all of the suffering, it is key that we stay with the truth, the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Titus 2 and verse 1. So, number one, the reward for suffering for Christ is a crown that awaits us. Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, we pick up with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he is talking to John by way of an angel. And we notice something as he is talking to the church at Smyrna. And this ought to teach us some things as it relates to suffering and persecutions and standing up for what is right. And brethren, there's nothing wrong with standing up for what is right, especially when there is so much chaos and unrest and sin around us. And it is true. This holy nation, 1 Peter 2, verse number 9, is in the midst of a sinful nation. And that is true. And so therefore we have to remain pure. Therefore, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Notice verse number 8, Revelation 2. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life, talking about the Christ. I know your works, tribulation, poverty, but you're rich. Hold on, they're poor, but they're rich. I wonder what they're rich in. It must be in faith. It must be in the word of God. And I know the blasphemy of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. They're an assembly of the evil one. And notice what he tells them, friends, and I want us to take these words to our heart, and I want us to keep this in our minds this week. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison in order that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful. How long? Unto death. And notice what the Lord says he will give to the church at Smyrna. And friends, by implication, he will give us the same. I will give you the crown of life. A couple of passages that came to my mind as it relates to this crown. It is an imperishable crown, according to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. It is a crown of righteousness, as Paul would say in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 8. But it is also a crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. Friends, did you get that? Not only is it a crown of life, but it is a crown of righteousness, which means that those who have lived a righteous life will be crowned of the same. It is a crown of life. It is a crown of glory. It is an imperishable crown, which means that it will never pass away nor be destroyed. Number 2, the reward for suffering for Christ is a heavenly country, a heavenly city. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, we understand it to be the hall of fame of those who have lived faithful and according to faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema, the utterances, the word of God. I found it very interesting in verses 11 through 16. Let's look at this first, and then we'll look at verse number 8 through verse number 10. And I think you'll see something very powerful. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16, these all died in faith, not receiving the promises, but having seen them, notice this, friends, afar off. Now, question, is heaven afar off? You better believe it is. You better believe it is. And here we understand that these who died in faith, they have not received the promises, just like we haven't received the promise as of yet. We're still laboring. We're still toiling. We're still down here in this life, suffering, going through the trials, the tribulations, the struggles with false teachers, false ideas, struggles with our own weaknesses, which we have to grow strength or grow strong in the midst of. And notice what he says. Embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I wish I had time to really deal with that. Friends, do we really see ourselves as pilgrims here? As strangers? Or is this world that we live in our home? I venture to say, as in the words of Abraham, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, not down here. This is not our home. And notice what he says in verse 14. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, listen to this, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Friends, God has prepared a city for us. It is not this earth. It is not this world that we live in today. The suffering that we go through today is for something far better. A better life, eternal. A better body, eternal. A better hope, eternal. But notice verses 8 and following. Here we pick up Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. Heaven is our inheritance, Brother Royce, but we got to keep laboring. You can't give up. You can't stop in the middle of the fight, in the middle of the suffering. You got to hang in there and hold fast and hold for the word of truth. But notice, he says, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Isn't it interesting that he went out not knowing where he was going, but we know where we're going. We're going to glory. We're going to heaven. But we remember, we are going to obtain that imperishable crown. We're going to obtain that crown of glory. We're going to obtain that crown of righteousness, which means that we have to live lives that are imperishable. We have to live lives of righteousness. We have to live lives of glory toward God. But then notice what he says in verse number 9. By faith, he dwelt in a land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, dwelling in temporary booths, if you will, temporary homes. This body that we're living in right now, that is subject to temptation and subject to sickness and subject to death, is all temporary. But there will be a different body awaiting us. 1 John 3 and verse number 1, 2, and 3, we don't know what we're going to be as, but we're going to be as he is. And everyone that has this hope within him purifies himself just as he is pure. We're going to be just like the Lord, John chapter 21. But friends, here we find that Abraham, even though he was living in temporary quarters, he was looking for eternal, permanent quarters. Could it be as Christians? No, let me take that back. It is as Christians. We get too connected with the temporary, when we ought to be connected with the eternal. Friends, all of this is going to burn up. All of this is going to pass away. All of this is going to be for naught, for nothing, no more. It's just proving ground. It's a testing ground for the real. But notice what he goes on to say. The heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Friends, we consider these things. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't I saw, I'd tell you. Remember what Thomas said, Lord, how are we gonna know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. And he's the only way. He's the only hope. He's the only eternal life. He's the eternal life from the Father. Turn to Revelation 21. Jesus himself talks about that city, that country, if you will. And John would say that he saw this city. I found it pretty interesting. I was talking to a good brother, and usually when I'm talking to good brethren, we talk about the Bible and we glean from one another. And we was talking about this heavenly city, and we were talking about what John saw, new heavens and new earth. And the Bible says, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, no longer, no more, gone, no more sea. And then notice what he says, then I, John, also saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. So the question we was asking ourselves, what does that mean, coming down out of heaven from God? You remember when we consider Paul, when he was caught up to the third heavens, and he was either out of the body or into the body, he says, I don't know. But we do know that no man can see God and live. And so here John sees heaven coming down, if you will, in order for him to see it. Why? Because there was no way for John to go up to where God was. Because if he was to go up to where God was, he would die. You stop and you consider. this new heavens and this new earth, this heavenly city that came down, one day we're going to come up, go up to it. We're going to live in it. Why? Because we're going to be that heavenly city, if you will. We're going to live in that city of four square. We're going to be in that great city where God is, where the tree of life is. And we're going to be singing praises and serving God and seeing the very face of God, Revelation 22, verses 1 through 4. Pretty? Friends, this heavenly country is a prepared country. Look at Revelation 22. Look at verse 14 and 15. We understand that this heavenly city, this prepared city, is a city where we don't have to worry about outside forces coming in and carrying us away. Look at this. Blessed are those, verse 14, who do his commandments. Can we stop there real quick? It is a blessing to keep the commandments of God. How many of them? All of them. It is a blessing to keep all of God's commandments. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right. John 1 and verse number 12, Jesus is the one that gave us the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates. Notice, into the city. Do you have a picture in your head? You have a picture in your mind? That here is a city that has a gate, if you will. And in order to get into the city, you have to be faithful. You have to keep the commandments of God. You have to endure the suffering. But notice what's on the outside of this city. But outside are dogs. He's not talking about literal dogs, friends. He's talking about savages. He's talking about people who didn't have their mind made up to follow the will of the Lord. You know, during this particular time, people didn't have dogs in their houses. They were scavengers. They just walked the streets, if you will. We have domesticated dogs. Trust me. We like dogs. Nothing wrong with dogs. But do you know that it was asked on a website, will my dog go to heaven? And a gospel preacher, he said, I don't know. Maybe. We ought to shake our heads for that. Friends, that's furthest from the truth. The dogs that he's talking about here are outside of the city. They're scavengers. They're like brute beasts. They're people who did not want to adhere or follow the will of God. Notice what he goes on to say. Sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Those are going to be the ones that are going to be outside of this reward, outside of safety. And I considered that. Friends, we want to make sure that we stay in the church so we can die faithful and one day enter into that city. A city of four square where God will be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 28. Point three and last one. Let's remain with Christ. Why? Four reasons. Number one, in Romans 8, verse number 17, we want to be glorified with him. Why do I want to remain with Christ? Because I want to be glorified together with the Christ. Look at Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, Paul would say this to the same brethren that we're talking about in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 6, starting in verse number 1, notice what the Bible here has to say. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Now listen to this. Therefore, we were buried with him, buried with Christ. Those who are going to be glorified together with Christ must first be buried with Christ. through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also to walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, what is he saying? What am I saying? That if we're going to be glorified together, Romans 8 verse 17, with the Christ. Friends, we have to first die with him, and we have to be raised with him. And the only way that that can take place is through the obedience to the gospel of Christ. But then notice 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, and I contemplated, do I want to read all of this? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, here, Paul has some very powerful things to say. You read verses 1 through verse number 9 on your own time, but look at verse number 10 and following. Because Paul, he understood suffering. And we have to understand suffering, but there's something waiting for us. And there are so many in the world today, and we have conditioned ourselves, we have conditioned our children, we have conditioned the world that is not good to suffer. But friends, suffering is part of Christianity. And so in verse number 10, therefore, Paul says, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now notice what he says here. This is a faithful saying, meaning it's trustworthy. Do you know that Paul is the only one that talks like this? This is a faithful saying. You will only find it in Paul's writings. For if we died with him, that's going back to Romans chapter 6, we shall also live with him. Well, Christ is living in glory right now. If we endure, meaning that if we hang in there under the persecution, under the suffering, we shall also reign with him. The word reign there is in the future active indicative, which means that it's something that's going to take place in the future, which means that we're literally going to have supreme honor and blessedness and liberty with God. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we're faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. I thought about that. Do we want to remain with Christ? The answer is yes. Look at Colossians 3. In Colossians chapter 3, if I keep my eyes on Jesus, if I stay in his word, if I apply it to my life, if I allow it to rest, rule, and abide in my heart, if I make sure that I read it and allow it to saturate my conscience, which is my soul. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, with the emphasis being on verse number 4, friends, there is a reward waiting for us. If then you were raised with Christ, he's just finished talking about being buried with him in Colossians chapter 2, 11 through 14, and being raised. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Here it is. When Christ, who is our life? But Paul is telling the Colossian brethren, Christ is your life now. But he's in heaven. But he's your life now. So when your life comes back, when your eternal life comes to get you, because the second time that he returns, Hebrews chapter 10, I believe it is, in verse number 28, he's going to return the second time for salvation. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also, notice, appear with him in glory. Friends, there is something to look forward to as it relates to our Christianity and our suffering. But last, but definitely not least, look at Revelation 3. And I think this is my favorite little mini point right here. Because most of us, maybe not all of us, but most of us like to eat. There's nothing wrong with eating. As a matter of fact, I had some barbecue rabbit at camp. And I got up out of my bed and went to the refrigerator, Dennis. I'm sorry, got some more barbecue rabbit. They got the little refrigerator, I tell you, boy. Anyway, let me stay focused. But friends, look at this point. And I want us to appreciate that it's okay to eat. But who are you eating with? Behold, this is Jesus again speaking, the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Behold, I stand at the door, I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him. And what, Brother Royce? Dine. I don't believe Jesus is talking about having a physical meal. I'm talking about intimacy. Closeness. Watch who you dine with today. Watch who's sitting there across the table from you, metaphorically, figuratively speaking, today. He says, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. Friends, if we remain with Christ, we'll be glorified together with him. We will live with him. We will reign with him. We will appear with him. But most of all, we'll be intimate. We'll dine with him. So remain true to the cause of Christ. And think about all of the great benefits of being a Christian. And suffering a little bit. It's all right to suffer for morals and values and Christianity and the Word of God. I'm telling you, friends, those who don't stand for something fall for anything. And so we want to stand for the truth. And we want to remain faithful. So be faithful, friends, to your spouse. Be faithful to your children. Be faithful to the church. Be faithful to worship. Be faithful. If you're struggling with sin and weaknesses, which all of us have weaknesses, but we have to do our part in seeing the big picture, the eternal city, the country that where God is going to give us. So we put off the desires, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. We take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We abstain from fleshly lust at war against the soul. Friends, it's worth it. We have something to look forward to. We don't smudge the numbers. We are not a people who compromise in any fashion. Why? Because we have something waiting for us. It is a reward. And friends, there is an emotional suffering there. There is an anguish of the mind there, and sometimes it even affects the body, because we really want to do what is right, and our bodies are affected by it. But friends, I want to encourage us, you remain faithful, because there's something waiting for us. And Jesus would say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, I'll make you rule over many. Enter into the joy of our Lord. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to obtain that eternal reward. Why? Because God wants you to obtain that eternal reward. That reward that only he can give, that he provides, eternal life. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, be buried in water, thus identifying with his death, raised to walk in the newness of life. Maybe a child of God, you haven't been focused. Let's remain focused. Let's get focused and let's stay focused as we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.
I wonder for a coming.